ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
ॐ
नमो
नमो
भगवते
भगवते
वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 2, Text 11, a well-known verse. This chapter opens with Lord Krishna chastising Arjuna for being anarya, uncivilized. Then Arjuna comes back and tries to justify himself, and this is Krishna again getting on his case, this time for being a wise-sounding fool. Lord Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, yeah, that's Lord Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochan Anvasochas Twang Pragyavadang Cha Bhashase Gata Sun Agata Sun Cha Nanu Shochanti Panditaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Purport. The Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him, indirectly, a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is the body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology, but he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the Supreme is even more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and is destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ashochan Anvasochas Twang Pragya Vadangs Cha Bhashase Gata Sun Agata Suns Cha Nanu Shochanti Panditaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. For some time, I've been thinking of speaking on practical preparations for death for Vaishnavas, aspiring Vaishnavas. And with the sudden demise of my godbrother, Kalyapani Prabhu, I thought it was about time, because we're all on that path. Marane pote potik. We're all traversing the path of death. We're all destined for that end. Well, it's not an end, and that's the point that Krishna is making in this verse here in Bhagavad Gita, but it's the end of a certain phase of activities. And in the human form of life, death, in one sense, it's not very consequential. It's just like everyone gets the flu, everyone gets a toothache, everyone dies. But it is consequential, because yang vapi smaran bhavan tyajyante kalevaram tang tamai vaiti kantaya sada tadbhava bhavitaha. In the human life, Whatever we think of at the time of death determines our future, and what we do during life largely and generally determines what we think of at the time of death. That human life is a crossroads, or more than a crossroads, it's a junction with many possible outlets. We can't stay where we are. We have to move on. So death is very important, and especially for Vaishnavas, we want to remember Krishna at the time of death. Antakale cha mam eva smaran mukva kalevaram. What's the next line? Smaran mukva. Yapayati samadbhavam tyajyanti asti atra sanshaya. Yati nasti atra sanshaya. Lord Krishna again says, whoever remembers me at the time of death attains my nature without fail. There's no doubt about this. So, yeah, preparing for death. Something interesting happened this morning when I logged in and checked my email, because not all my email comes to me directly. A lot of it comes via my secretary, who filters out junk mail and spam mail and all kinds of things. Devotee spam. There's someone somewhere is complaining about something that I know nothing about and I can do nothing about, and because I'm a sannyasi, I am put in the list of 500 people who are supposed to get such a complaint. So for such things, I have a secretary. And so I got an email from James Russell, that's Kalyapani Prabhu, because we're doing email back and forward regularly for the editing of this book. And he just sent a short note. He had edited one section, I'd made a few comments and thought, what do you think about this? And he said, yeah, okay, I think that's fine. He wrote back like that. It was very interesting to get that email, because he must have written it. I guess he wrote it just before he went to the program, on returning from which he had the accident in which he died. And it's... I don't know what the word is. There must be some word to describe when you get when you get an email from someone who's in the meantime died, and obviously there's no indication in his letter, well, I'm going to die and I won't. It's just, you just expect life to go on. And it's like that, I'm sending a mail, and he sent me a mail, and then I'll send him one, and he'll send me one, and back and forward, and we go on like this until the book is finished editing. But it didn't happen, did it? So, he didn't have any chance to prepare for death specifically. Of course, all our life is meant to be a preparation. But many of us do get forewarning. Well, the forewarning is there in Shastra, that we're going to die. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu. Whoever is born has to die. That's there for everyone to see. Also, old age is a sign that we're getting there, towards that point. Just like I'm 62 years old, and I'm definitely closer time-wise to death than I am to birth, because I don't expect to live another 62 years. Highly unlikely. So it's a sign. And then with the body rotting away all around us, from the outside, from the inside, so it's a forewarning that death is approaching. And there may be more dramatic forewarnings also. Just like someone gets a terminal disease. Cancer nowadays, if it's caught in an early stage, is not usually terminal. It can be at least put off for some time. AIDS or some kind of disease. A terminal disease. You can't know exactly down to the minute, unless you're going to be executed and told you're going to be executed at 5 o'clock the next morning. That's unusual. But old age or severe disease, a devotee or any transcendentalist sees that it's a sign from Krishna to help us prepare to go on to the next stage. And also another factor is on the external platform, just to put everything in order. Just like Srila Prabhupada, the topmost Paramahamsa Vaishnava, had nothing to do with this world in the sense that he always lived in Krishna, but he had a lot to do with this world in as much as he acted so magnificently to uplift the world. He wrote a will. He wrote a will so that his work would continue. It's work within the world, so you have to. He left the properties and everything. He made a will. And then there's also the medical will you can make. Do you want to be put on a life support system? Yes or no? And then where do you want to? Do you want to be cremated, buried? All these kind of questions. Where do you want to be buried or whatever? So this is a reality that we're facing. We didn't think about it much. The devotees in the Krishna Conscious Movement didn't think about it much when we were 20 or 30 years old. But as you get closer to that time and you see your friends and acquaintances and even big people of the world, who are big people in your childhood, and then they pass away and it comes in the news, and you realize, hey, we're all going that way pretty soon. The attitude towards death is different when you're 60 and then when you're 20, in general, because you know it's getting closer. For materialists, it's getting close. For materialists, it's something horrible, which they don't want to think about. And you see, materialistic people, they'll go on working up to the last moment, as if, like that man we know very well in Salem. Everyone all around him telling him, just retire. He's, who knows how, he's 80 years old. He's still active, doing this business, starting new businesses and factories. And everyone around him telling him, just retire. But he won't. He's addicted to that. Srila Prabhupada often told the story of a man he knew in Allahabad, who was a rich man, and he was going to die, and called the doctor and said, give me another 4 years, I have to, maybe it was in, anyway, wherever it was, give me another 4 years of my life, I'll pay you so much money, I have so many plans I want to finish. And the doctor said, I can't give you any time, it's not in his hands to do so. So yeah, we have to think about these things very realistically. As I often say, those who are around me may have noticed, I often say, look, I say to my disciples and everyone, look, I'm not going to be around much longer. I have so many books I want to write, so many things I want to do, but I won't be able to do it. Realistically speaking, the time isn't there. Time, that factor is there, the factor of destruction. Time destroys everything in this world, even spiritual movements. Sakale neha evang parampara praptam evang raja shayo vidu. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This whole the spiritual movement is received in disciplic succession, but time, kale neha mahata, mighty time, destroys even spiritual movements. Spiritual movement means on the spiritual platform, but it's in the material world, and material interaction, material misinterpretation, materialistic people enter spiritual movements and waylay the assets for their own sense gratification. Time destroys everything. So what should you do? What should everyone do? Just drop everything and go to Vrindavan and hear and chant about Krishna, roll in the dust. Yeah, that's what everyone should do. It might not be practical for everyone, but actually everyone who is older and who is supposed to be a devotee of Krishna, they shouldn't hang around in family life and just be hang in forever as if they're going to live there forever. There is the Vedic system, Grihastha, there is Grihastha life, then there's Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means you're supposed to start getting detached. That's for men and women. Sannyas, maybe, maybe not, but everyone should start to get detached from the age of 50, which is still quite strong and healthy, but one should start to get detached from all these things. That's the direction in Shastra. Why get detached? Because if we're attached, we come back. If we're detached from this material world, we don't come back. So even if we're not able to drop everything, we should start to get detached and increase our hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving Krishna, because the mind has to be trained to think of Krishna. This is transcendental selfishness. Transcendental life means not being selfish. But there is some kind of it's not exactly selfishness, but acting in one's own true self-interest. And Krishna wants us to do that. He wants us to love Him. So He's given us the process of hearing and chanting about Him. The whole process is of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, so that we can develop our attraction to Him. So that we should increase the spiritual content of our lives. And that's true at every stage of life. And of course, it may be at 20 years old, you die also. So we should always be prepared for death. Kalyapani Prabhu, he was prepared in the sense that he had told, I heard from two devotees now, that just in the last, on the day that he passed away, he told two devotees that he feels more happy in his Krishna consciousness than at any other time. So Krishna took him just nicely at that time. Krishna treated, what is that that Kula Shekhar Alva sings, and Srila Prabhupada often used to quote. As far as I know, it's the only verse from Kula Shekhar Alva's Mukunda Mala Stotra that he would regularly quote. Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantram Adhyayva Me Vishitu Manasa Raja Hungsam Prana Prayana Samaye Kapa Vata Pittai Kantava Rodana Vito Smaranam Kutaste. It's very beautiful. All the verses of Mukunda Mala, very beautiful, transcendentally inspired. So he's calling out to Krishna that I want that my mind will be, O Krishna, I want that my mind will be entangled in your lotus feet. Just like a swan may entangle his neck in the lotus stem. Let that be now, because let me think of you intensely like that now and leave this world, because who knows? At the time of death, all the humors of the body, the whole body becomes disturbed, and how will I be able to remember you at that time? So let me remember you intensely now and pass away. So it's good to be prepared all the time. Realistically speaking, most of us, unless we get an atom bomb dropped on us, and we all collectively... atom bomb's out of date, but anyway, you get the point. Most likely, most of us won't have a sudden death, let's put it like that. And we can prepare to some extent. Like I said, it's good to make a medical will, because we could be put on some life support system, which just makes the body goes on, but the consciousness, we don't know where the consciousness state, coma-like state. There may be decisions to take there may be some risky surgery to do. Do you do it or not? You may have to make a decision. You may not be able to. It may be that others have to make the decision for you. You maybe want to discuss in advance. Srila Prabhupada did. Several times he told his disciples that when I get to that point, don't take me to the hospital and have tubes in the body. He didn't want that. And he went to Vrindavan to pass away from this world. And he was several months in Vrindavan lying on the bed. Actually, this whole business of going to the hospital and having tubes stuck in you and bottles and drips and all this kind of thing. At that time in the 1970s, that was still quite unusual in India. That was only for rich people they would do that. And of course Srila Prabhupada could afford that, but he said he didn't want it. And the normal thing was that people, they just live at home until they die. That's all. That was the normal thing all over the world. And just when they're about to die, they're taken outside the house because it's considered not proper that a person should die in the house. I'm not exactly sure of the reason for that. Bharat Chandra knows about all these things. He could probably tell us. It's probably if you die in the house, you probably have to come back to it or something like that, apart from contaminating the whole house. You should die on the floor, outside, not inside. So, Srila Prabhupada said, don't stick me on some machine in some hospital. And we see that people, they spend so much money. It's really expensive to die because people, they're going to die and then they get rushed to hospital and they spend 3 or 4 lakhs in the last 2 or 3 days. And then they just die anyway. So why spend so much money? Anyway you're going to die. I remember that was some years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, in Melkote, in Karnataka. I was there. Someone was telling me about how there was some old man, 80 years old, and he was going to die, and then people appreciated him so much, they sent money from Australia and here, and then they did 8 lakhs treatment for him, which is a lot of money now, and it was a lot more money then. And I just said, why? He's 80 years old anyway, he's a devotee, just let him die. And why all this treatment, hospital, this, that? Mostly in the hospitals, they won't let you do kirtan and this and that anyway. So, and then that person I was with, he was shocked. Oh no, you should, it's the way of thinking in India nowadays, you have to do it, it's your duty. Yeah, someone old is dying, you have to take them to hospital and spend lots of money. Why? Why? It's huge amounts of money and then you die anyway. And in some ghost-ridden hospital. Hospitals are full of ghosts, so many people die there. Not at all a spiritual position. So you can tell, this preparation we can make, we can tell others, hey look, you say I'm going to die, don't take me to the hospital. Let me be with devotees, and chanting. Of course, the thought is always there, well, you could take him to the hospital and he could recover. That's also there. That's also a possibility. So we want to make sure that we did the best and could recover. But then the person himself has to decide at some time, how long do you want to go on with life? We all have to leave at some point. At some point we come... You may think, well, I just don't want to burden others so much. That's all. I don't have anything to offer others, except you could say the opportunity for them to serve me. Srila Prabhupada gave that opportunity to his disciples in old age. He didn't call for his family members, his physical body family members. His one son, Vrindavan, came. But he just stayed for a short time. But his real family, his children, his sons and his daughters, and they surrounded him in the last few months. So these are things you can tell. I'll tell you all now, whoever's interested in me, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, there are some very nice devotees who are kindly interested in me. So, I'd really prefer to be surrounded by devotees than surrounded by doctors and tubes and bottles and needles and chemicals and all this kind of thing. One way to pass away is just refuse medical treatments. Say, I don't want it, that's all. I'm going to die? Okay. When you get to a certain age, you can't do much anyway. Srila Prabhupada said that his father, at one point, his father was living with him as the eldest responsible son, the normal thing, the father lives with the son. And at one point his father just stopped drinking water, which was tantamount to saying, okay, now I'm going. If you stop eating food, you might last for maybe a month. It depends on the condition of the body and the strength and fate and everything. But you stop drinking water, you won't last long. The body will soon pass away. So that's one way. It doesn't mean, it's not exactly committing suicide. It's just cooperating with nature, you could say, to hasten the inevitable. And there are examples of that in Shastra. There's actually a word for it that's given in Srimad Bhagavatam concerning Parikshit Maharaj, who fasted to death. That's called praya. That word is called, you'll find that in Bhagavatam. It means fasting to death, which is the way that a saintly person may decide that he has to leave the world. And of course, Parikshit was already cursed to die from the bite of the takshak, the snake bird. But anyway, he was fasting, and because he thought, now I have to prepare for death. So he asked that question is there of Parikshit. You'll find it in the Bhagavatam, toward the end of the first canto. He asked, now, what is my duty now? Just consider, what is my duty? Now I have to die. So what is the duty of everyone in this world, and especially those who are just about to die? That was the question he asked. That's the kind of question we should ask. What do I have to do to prepare for the inevitable? That was Parikshit Maharaj's very intelligent question, which was answered in various ways by various propounders of various paths. But when Shukdev came, they understood, here's the one with the answer. And he said, Janmalabha parapunsang ante narayana smritihi. The best thing, or the thing which you should do to prepare for death, but prepare, do this at the time of death, that you can perfect your life by this, by remembering Narayana at the time of death. Now, committing suicide is something else. There are people who, they get a terminal disease and they commit suicide. There is euthanasia, there is assisted suicide that's there in some countries, legal, where the doctor assists a person. They say, hey, look, you know, I want to die. Can you help me? They have a terminal disease, or they're very old, and they go through some legal procedure, and the doctor gives them an injection, and it's all mutually decided, and it's all legal to do that. But it's legal maybe according to the laws of some countries, but it's not legal according to the laws of God. It's very sinful. We may think I'm escaping from suffering, but we become caught in more suffering, because it is against the laws of God to destroy the body. That is to be done by His agents, not that we shall do so arbitrarily. We get trapped in a ghost body, and we may think that, well, if I kill this body, then I'll be released from this suffering. But we go on into a state of more suffering. There are many people who, they're in a state of suffering and they can't imagine anything worse. I have that personal experience, and probably most sadhus and priests and maybe lawyers and doctors, they have this experience. People come to them and they're just so distressed. Oh, it's so bad. Everything's so bad and they can't imagine anything worse, although, and they think they're suffering more than anyone in the world, although we get these kind of people all the time. My standard reply is that whatever you're suffering, it could be worse. I don't need these, do I? And whatever you're suffering, there are plenty of people in the world who are suffering more than you. So that's something to consider. But many people, they just get in a state of despair and they feel, I just got to get out of this, whatever. But that is foolish because the whatever is going to be worse. We are put in a situation because we deserve it, we have to learn something, we're meant to go through with it. So if we just cut out of it by force, then we have to come back to face that test. We can't avoid it. And plus, on top of that, we'll have the extra bad karma of having killed our own body. Now, fasting to death while remembering Krishna, that is allowed in Shastra. But slitting your wrists with a razor, or there are so many ways to commit suicide, we don't have to enumerate them, but that is not at all allowed or recommended. We should contemplate the condition of this world. Smaram nityam nityatvam. We are recommended to always consider. That means not just when we're thinking of death, but always consider that everything in this world is temporary. This world is a place of suffering. In Bhutan, country in just north of India, the vast majority of the population are Buddhists, and it's a national practice to contemplate death. It's recommended to do so 5 times a day, 5 minutes a day, to contemplate the fact that we're all going to die. And they say Bhutan is the happiest country in the world. Whereas in the West, at least in England, where I come from, the culture may have changed, because England's changed, the culture has changed a lot since I was living there in the 1970s. But you're not supposed to talk about death. I remember I was at a small house program in Romford, in northeast London. This is 20-something years ago. And I just said to everyone, you're all going to die soon. And one young woman there said, oh, don't say such a horrible thing. Horrible, yeah, but true. We should think. Bringing up all kinds of trivial points, but just consider this. We're all going to die soon. So in Bhutan, they have a national, habit that you're supposed to just stop and 5 times a day, like Muslims, Sunni Muslims, 5 times a day do their namaz. So they don't believe in God per se, but they contemplate death. And somehow that seems to make them happy when they... gives a sense of detachment or something like that. So that's there also, that recommendation is there. Srila Prabhupada would quote, Smaran Nityam Anityatvam. Always remember that everything in this world is temporary. And think of the permanent also. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktya sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu Nashyatsu navinashyati. Beyond this world where everything is created and destroyed again and again, there's the spiritual world where nothing is created or destroyed, which exists eternally. So, that's what this human life is meant for. We have to die, but a Vaishnav dies to live. A non-Vaishnav dies to die. It means that they die, they get born, they die again, born, die, it just goes on and on. In this verse, Ashochanavya Sochanscha, Pragyavadangscha Bhasasa, Gatasu Nagatasunscha, Nanu Sochanti Pandita. Gata means gone. Agatasu, those who are to come, coming and going, don't lament for them, anyone. But the aim is yad gatvana nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama, to go to the land of Krishna, where we never come back. But as long as we're here, we're in this body, and the body is miserable. We have to deal with the conditions of these bodies. Even self-realized souls, as long as they're in this world, we have bodies. They may be spiritualized in the way that iron in a fire becomes fiery, but still the body goes through various changes. So we're recommended to look after this body, because the body is a vehicle for living for the sake of God realization. Shariramadyam kalu Shariramadyam kalu dharma sadhanam. We need the body for doing dharma, for practicing dharma. So the body, it's a secondary part of devotional service, to maintain the body in good order, so that we can execute devotional service. But there comes a point when we see that there's no point in doing that anymore. That just like a car gets old and then you repair it, and you do maintenance and you repair it, it gets to a point where it's not worth to maintain it anymore. Just get rid of it and get a new one. So in the same way, we have to see the body. We have to keep it going, but at some point, just let it go. That's all. It may be difficult to consider when is that point. We may have some severe disease. We may think, well, I'm going to die, but we don't. The disease just goes on, and we live all on, and if we just go into some kind of limbo state, or just stop doing things because we think I'm so diseased, well, we could be doing something even when we're diseased, or maybe I'm going to die soon, but we don't die. There are cases of people who have, they're certain to die, and they give away all their possessions or whatever, and then they live and they don't have anything left. So they don't have any job or anything like that. It's difficult to say. It's unpredictable. There may be someone who goes to the hospital with some minor disease and they die. And someone who goes into the hospital and they consider there's no hope, and they walk out healthy and fit. So the hospital is there, the doctors are there, treatment are there, but ultimately, fate, daivam. Fate is, which means the hand of Krishna, ultimately. That is there. So it's very difficult to tell. That's why it's good always to be Krishna conscious. It's not that we might think, well, I won't bother too much about Krishna conscious later, when I get sick. Well, we don't know when that's going to happen. And it may be that if we're cultivating material consciousness, we'll fall down very badly, and then we won't remember Krishna at all. One thing in the modern age, which is rather horrible, is that medical treatment becomes so expensive. And then a lot of people, they just can't afford it, or they take huge loans. I know several cases of devotees and others who, they're not at all rich, but they take huge loans for some treatment, which doesn't actually make them any better. And then the family is saddled with huge debts, which they can hardly pay off. And then they have to sell their land, and then they're nothing. And in the quest to get better, the whole family is ruined. It's horrible the way the medical bills are there, and everyone thinks you have to do the best medical treatment, and it's so costly. You go to any hospital. In the last 10 years or so, I spent so much time in and out of hospitals. I didn't imagine previously I could be like that, but. There's so many, this condition, that condition, and there's so many medical conditions. And you see there's so many people at the hospitals. They can't afford to be there, but they're there anyway. The disease, the accident, and they're trying to take treatment, but the treatment is in some ways worse than the suffering from the medical condition, because the whole family has to suffer for years and years, maybe their whole life. So people are already suffering so much from disease or the disease of a loved one, and then they have huge bills on top of that, and it's just complete anxiety for them. Anyway, preparing for death, if we're getting that way, then obviously the things to do is to put pictures on the... If you're lying in the bed, put pictures on the wall, pictures of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, have music playing, or sound of Srila Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna, have devotees as far as possible, let them, have them come in and chant, and it can bring deity flowers, might not be able to take prasadam, can take the Charanamrita, which is as good as Ganga Jal, have all these things there, Tulsi, might not be able to chant Japa, won't have the strength, but if others are around, then they can help you. Of course, you never know. When you're going to pass away, that we have to say again. Or if they take you to hospital and then they take you in the ICU, because that's intensive care unit. Yeah, so they won't allow the family members in. You might die with some doctor massaging your heart and no devotees around. So better have devotees. Or they might put you into some surgery and you never wake up. Just die on the surgeon's bed, on the operating table. These things can happen. There are many stories now. By the grace of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, there are many stories now of devotees who have passed away gloriously. Gloriously means, what does that mean? They were in a battle and they were fighting. No, not that. The gloriously means they were surrounded by devotees. In the chanting, there are many, many, many cases. It's the mercy. This is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. One major aspect of His mercy we can see. Factually, so many devotees have passed away remembering Krishna, or having people around them, helping them to remember Krishna. Which there would be no question of that if Srila Prabhupada had not mercifully come to the Western world and very forcefully spread Krishna consciousness and given people faith in the reality of Krishna beyond this world of birth and death. Prepare as much as possible, but again, you can't say. It's possible that something sudden, just like you're hit from behind by a car or something like this, and you don't have time. There's no time to think. So So if we're in a bad mood and we're thinking of something we shouldn't be thinking of, be careful, be careful. Of course, if we've dedicated to Krishna, Krishna will help us, but we really want to do the best we can to remember Krishna at the time of death. Exactly how we're going to pass away, again, I'm saying again and again and again, we can't say, just like Karyapanya. I was actually sending him stuff a little slowly, my editing work, because I was thinking that I'm modifying the work as I'm going along, so let me get the files to send to him in as good a condition as I can before I send to him. So I'd wait, after he'd send me a file, I'd wait 2-3 days, sometimes more, before sending him another one. So I was thinking that, I didn't expect him to pass away. No one did. He didn't either. No one goes out in the morning and thinks I'm going to die in a car accident, and tens of thousands of people do every day. If there's time, if there's a split second, we can remember Krishna. Just like we see, we're in a car, we're just about to have a head-on collision at high speed. There might be a split second to remember Krishna. Will we remember, even if we have the opportunity? That we have to train ourselves to take shelter of Krishna fully in this life, prayerfully taking shelter of Krishna. But we, like that, we may not even get a split second, so we have to practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. Always practice, practice to remember Krishna. Panic. What if there's panic? If there's fear? What's going to happen? Will we remember Krishna, or will we just panic and not remember Krishna? One story, I'd heard it, and I've repeated it many times. Delhi, 1970s, no street lights, hardly. Street lights were unknown in most of India. So a devotee is driving early in the morning to go to the airport or something. And they're going along a dark road, and all of a sudden, they're right in front of a truck coming at them in the opposite direction without any lights on, and they're going to hit it. And one devotee, a revered devotee in our movement, just as they're about to hit, says, "Jesus, Mary, Joseph." And then somehow or other, as we see many, many times in India, I've seen, and I've been in such a situation, they're just going to hit, and somehow at the last moment, one vehicle goes one way, the other vehicle goes the other way, and they pass each other without a collision. And many times they don't do that, and there is a collision. But in this case, it looked like they were going to hit, and they didn't hit. So this devotee, who was from a Catholic, Roman Catholic background, who said that, he called out just when he looked like he was going to die, "Jesus, Mary, Joseph." Well, at least he was thinking of God somehow or other, but he didn't call out Hare Krishna. Probably he would now, because he's been chanting Hare Krishna for 45 years more since then. But he said that, and then they drove on and no one said anything, and then he said, "I never said that or thought of that for the last 20 years. But it just came up out of his subconsciousness. Must have been in his childhood. That was his religious upbringing. So we want to remember Krishna. If we remember Jesus, Mary, Joseph, well, maybe we'll go to Jesus. Practice chanting. Practice. Depend on Krishna. Depend on Krishna. Easily said. That's surrender. I am yours. Tavaivaham. I am yours. Take me. Shelter me. Sharanagati. Give me shelter. We're praying for that, because we may not have the mental strength to do so ourselves, so we pray, "Krishna, you come and save me." Yeah, I'll read that whole verse now. I got it in my notes. Etavan sankhya yoga bhyam svadharma parinishtaya janmalabha parapungsam ante narayana smritihi. The highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. There are many verses which tell us that we have to train ourselves to remember Krishna throughout life. And then remembering him should be easy at the time of death. We should grow throughout our life, grow in Krishna consciousness, and think of death as transplantation, just like the rice plants, they've grown in the field, and at a certain point they're transplanted so they can grow more. So our idea should be, just like Srila Prabhupada said, a devotee, when he dies, is not at all painful. It's just like he goes to sleep and he wakes up with Krishna. You go to sleep and you wake up, in the spiritual world there's Krishna. We go from Krishna consciousness to Krishna consciousness. In this life we worship Krishna and we go to worship Krishna. And of course, if we're going to take part in Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, then we get trained up by taking birth in the womb of a gopi, in the Boma Vrindavan, in some universe. We go to join Krishna's pastimes in this world, which is Prakat Leela. And then from there, when fully trained up, then we can go to the spiritual world. So this idea of fear of death, that has to be overcome by remembering that we don't die. We go to Krishna if we're trained that way. It's always good to have tulsi beads and tilak, make a will. These are all, keep tulsi beads. Wear tulsi beads. Keep your tilak. Vaishnav tilak. Don't be afraid. Wear it. Wear it to work. If you can, why not? It may be in some places they won't allow you. But if you can get away with it, then do so. Because you never know. Whatever people, and they may call you bad names and this and that, doesn't matter. Keep your symbol of Krishna. And talking about ourselves, how we can prepare for death, and we always have to be prepared to help others also. Relatives, godbrothers, godsisters, disciples, guru, whoever. We have to try to help each other at that time. In the Roman Catholic tradition in which I was raised, that's one of the important duties of the priest, the parish priest. They would visit the old and the sick and the dying to give them some comfort in the name of God. So devotees, they can not just abandon other devotees who are passing away. And of course there are certain things to be done at the time of death, just like you should have Ganga water there, put tulsi on the tongue, and there are so many things to do. Srila Prabhupada, he himself showed us how to pass away from this world, and he was loved by so many that he was surrounded by devotees at the time of his passing. He said all his disciples should come, but we didn't get that message. He showed us how to pass away from this world, remembering Krishna, being detached from the body, and going on, even dictating his Bhaktivedanta purports, even when there was, apparently there was no life in the body, but there was life. Life, the life of Krishna consciousness was there. That life he had. So he lived in Krishna. He showed us how to pass away in Krishna consciousness. And And of course, he went where he came from, to Krishna. We'll always be free from death if we're always hearing and chanting about Krishna. In this regard, I'll read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. O Suta Goswami, there are those among men who desire to become free from death and get eternal life instead of a short life. They escape the slaughtering process by calling the controller of death Yamaraj. So we become free from death by calling the god of death. How is that? Because the devotees there are hearing about Krishna, and it goes on, as long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. The great sages have invited the controller of death, Yamaraj, who is the representative of the Lord. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage of hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. That is Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So go on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and that will make us deathless. Now I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada some quotations. Then he's talking, Srila Prabhupada talks about death and deathlessness. So I'll just read that and maybe make a few comments. Srila Prabhupada kindly gave us knowledge of Krishna, experience of Krishna profusely. So I'm going to read from his teachings. Srila Prabhupada said, a diseased man, as soon as he goes to the physician, and he, the physician, gives the right medicine, and he takes it, that means his diseaselessness condition has already begun. The cure has begun. It will take a little time. So in the meantime, in that treatment time, diseaselessness condition, if you make infection, that is your fault. Otherwise, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. So Srila Prabhupada saying, what are you saying here? Is that we are, as soon as we take to Krishna consciousness, at the time of initiation, then we are on the path of deathlessness. Just like if someone goes to a doctor and starts to take the treatment properly, he's on the path to be cured. Of course, it's a mundane example, and it's not completely accurate because you might not be cured if you go to the doctor, but you get the general sense. Adau Guravashrayam, Srila Prabhupada says, as soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. Immediately! And if you continue the advice and instruction of the spiritual master or the Shastra, then you become deathless. If you continue, it's not just a matter of rubber stamp initiation, we have to continue. No more death. And Yamaraj wants to see that actually you are continuing your deathlessness process. Krishna consciousness is so nice, therefore it is advised. This is Srila Prabhupada speaking on these verses about becoming free from death by calling Yamaraj. And Srila Prabhupada continues, now if somebody argues, a devotee is also dying, how can I say that it is deathlessness? He does not know. A devotee is not dying. A devotee is dying. Prabhupada says, a devotee is not dying. Srila Prabhupada continues, there is a very good example. Just like a cat, he catches the rat and he catches his cub also. Cub means here kitten. But these two kinds of catching are different. When the cat catches a rat, the rat, he makes a noise. Chee chee chee! It means he's dying. He's actually dying. And the cub is feeling very comfortable. Meow, meow, meow. So the rat is in the mouth of the cat for dying, and the kitten is in the mouth of the cat for being nourished and looked after. Because the same cat, the catching process is the same, but the feeling is different. So a devotee is seemingly dying, but he is not dying. He is going back to Krishna. He's very pleased. Ah, now my labor is finished. I am going to Krishna. That is his feeling. And others there crying, oh, this is my estate, this is my family, this is my, this is my, this is my, I'm leaving, I do not want to leave it. What will happen to all of that? He is crying. That is death and this, the devotees, that is not death. So Srila Prabhupada continues, it appears like death, it is, but it is actually not death. Just like the electric fan, if you put the switch off, it has stopped running. But if you say it's still running, but not really, it's not running. It's going on for a little time. That is just a show. Actually, the running of the fan, the spinning of the fan, is stopped. Similarly, as soon as you surrender to God through His representative, your death is stopped, unless you make it nullified by accepting anything which is against the bhakti principle. Otherwise, your deathlessness is guaranteed. We are guaranteed to transcend death if we sincerely take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and continue on the path. If we don't continue, then we're back on the path of death. Another quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Death is stopped as soon as you take Krishna consciousness very serious, very seriously. Immediately from that moment, as soon as you are initiated, you promise before the spiritual master, yes, I am initiated, I shall act like this, and if you follow, then your death is stopped from that point. No more death. No more death. Simply an official business. Just like you sleep and again you wake. Similarly, a devotee's death is like that. It is like sleeping and next moment in the spiritual kingdom. Immediately. When he will rise, he will see that I am with Krishna. I am with Krishna. Vancha kalpataruvyascha kripa sindhuvyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukharo navayang vicharyamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama niravishama dante nidhaya churnakang padayo nipatya kritva chakaku shatam etadaham bravimi he sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad Chaitanya Chandra Charne Kurutanuragam.